The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website, app owners, and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of AppMasters.com, and welcome to our weekly YouTube live series where we really break down what's working in the app space today. And today's guest, got a phenomenal guest. He's got the birthday app. Yes, just search for a birthday app in your favorite app store. And he's going to tell us how he's been able to attain higher retention rates than TikTok. He's a very successful serial founder who has raised almost $100 million. So without further ado, let's bring in Brandon. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. That's quite the intro.
We try to do that for each kid. All right. Well, I've got birthday app pulled up. I guess we can start off with this. Like, what? Tell us a little bit about birthday app, and then we'll get into like some of the topics that we want to cover from a retention standpoint.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick story. Yeah. Basically, I had replaced myself as CEO of my previous company, and I had a company that was doing these. I'm sure you've seen them. You turn your relative's life into a book, right? They ask a question every week.
And I love those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that kind of stuff. I always did it as a hobby too. And everybody was buying these gifts as birthday presents. And I started to think about how competitive it was, even if you had a great product, to get the attention of everybody, and how there are these moments in time that like everybody has them. And since kind of Facebook became a little less relevant, they're not really kept in one place. And so me and my brilliant co-founder, he's brilliant, kind of challenged ourselves to see if we could build an app that it would know all of the birth dates of all of the contacts in your phone, even if you did not know them. Mm. And it would essentially create a calendar in your phone to remind you every morning. And the belief was, if we could, you know, provide this information for free and create this habit every morning, everybody opening it, we'd have an opportunity, even if it's a small one, to connect you to all the things you want to do around those dates. And so it was as simple as that. We found something that has existed since the beginning of time, and we tried to make it easy and put it on your phone. And if you go on the website, you can see there. Yeah. If you don't believe we know everybody's birthday, just type in a name and type in a phone number. And
okay. Well, let's put mine, shall we? Well, actually, hold on. I don't want my phone number everywhere.
Yeah. We can do it. Everybody just do it on the their own.
Okay. I guess we have to put anything else? It's not working right now. Do I have to put little dashes or anything?
I guess they shouldn't have to put dashes.
Yeah, I'll do this. I'll give away. So let's say 415. Should 555 1 2 3 4 Okay, there it is. All right, I don't know why it wasn't working before. I'm trying to get one. But anyways, I love it. I love the premise. Okay, here we go. Oh, look at that, Brandon. You're right. It is April 17th.
See? I dare you guys to try to beat the birthday app. But it's that simple. It's free. And, you know, to kind of segue into what we're going to talk about today,
yep.
It turns out that almost everybody has this problem and that there are terrible solutions. And the idea is if you can kind of solve something that people need every day, there's a lot you can do on top of it.
Okay. So I want to talk about this, the retention stuff. And before we, you know, in our prep, you really were talking about, hey, here's how you get high retention rates. And for a birthday app, it kind of makes sense. Like almost there's a birthday almost every day, but like, how do you bring users back into the app?
Well, ours is simple. You know, I like to say, if you can't name something people are already doing, whether it's a habit during the day, whether it's like a need that whether you exist or not was going to be there, if you can't name that particular thing, you're going to have a really hard time kind of getting in there with them. And so from retention purpose, you break down kind of for us, I guess I can use a specific example. We broke down kind of where we fit best. And we had a test version of this. And we know that in the morning, everybody, most people at least, have some type of window. They're checking their emails, checking their Slack, checking their texts.
Yep.
And historically, even in the Facebook days, they'd be looking at their birthdays. And so we built everything around this idea that there was already an existing behavior there. And so, and then what we did is, you know, you want to get deeper into kind of going into it. We experimented, you know, at first we had push notifications for every single birthday. And then we grouped them, except your favorite birthdays. But the idea was there was a balance between what people wanted to see and what they didn't. And we were honest with ourselves. We very easily could have, there you go. We very easily could have, you know, reached out more often. In addition, like giving you kind of marketing messages and stuff like that. But we found that there was this kind of sacred balance between answering the question, which I downloaded the app, which is what is the birthday? What is your birthday? And, you know, kind of what else they wanted to hear from us. I can go deeper into it, but.
No, I like it. Well, I like what you said. And I know we talked about this too, where you, instead of like trying to get people to do something brand new, you're sort of just like transitioning them because it becomes an easier win versus, you know, I'll talk to clients a lot of times, Brandon, and like, it's brand new. You've never seen this in the marketplace. And I always get scared off when they lead with that. I'm like, oh my God, we have to do so much education.
You're like, run, then we shouldn't be in the marketplace. Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. So like, I've had a bunch of conversations with, we have a lot of partners kind of coming up now, like very big brands, which are going to be very cool. But a lot of them answer, I think that they understand half the question, which is, especially if you're doing kind of things that gifts or for a specific moment, what they kind of figure out is they're building a thing to go with that date, right? Instead of trying to figure out how to build a demand around, like outside of that date. So I guess I'll use a specific example. You know, with us, we have this rule. We had a little bit of we have a commerce marketplace coming up. We've been testing, but we believe that we have to kind of communicate with you when we're not selling you anything at least 4 times before we even have a shot at people buying it. Right. So it's this idea that if you want to keep a habit or you want to retain somebody, you cannot be asking for something every time you meet them. Think about a friendship. If every time you went to dinner with somebody, they asked for a favor, you'd stop going to dinner with them, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have other friends who are just like, and some products work really well this way. Like you have a party friend who you only call when you want to go out. Or you have a friend who owns a truck, right? Is another good example.
Yeah, that's a great
one. Or like you don't really make any bones about like hanging out with them. When like you guys have a transactional relationship and you probably have something that they need from you and that's it. But if you want a sustained habit, you need to make it so every time you see them, or like the majority of times you see them, you're not asking for anything. And so something like birthday app, it's an easy example and it becomes harder with kind of more one-off purchases. But we're in the business of giving you stuff and not asking for anything back until we kind of start pushing something. And we try to maintain a balance on that.
Mm. So how do you bring it? I guess I want to get into like, what does that user journey look like then? As I'm signing up, which I'm doing right now, and says, hey, your magic calendar will be ready in about 7 minutes.
Should be less.
What does that journey look like for you? Like, how do you, what's that first interaction? I'm waiting for it, but what is that first interaction with the user?
It's funny. We have very little drop off. You'll see it in a second, but you'll essentially get a push notification that will say your calendar is ready. And one of the things that we gleaned early on from talking to users was that it's kind of like we, as a challenge, you know, it's like every piece, as like any other piece of content, where it either has to be intriguing, it has to be challenging, it has to be something where they want, it's like a good movie. They want to see what the payoff is going to be. And so we teased out that we're going to get all your birthdays. And so when we slide a DM your way in a few seconds, hopefully.
I won't share all my friends' birthdays, but it is up right now.
It is up. Okay, yes. But you, so you see it, right?
I see it. Wait. I see the names and said select my favorites.
Oh, yeah, I'll so keep it at keep the top. Going. Get there. You can select your favorites afterwards. Yeah, go to the next screen.
Okay. And then invite. I'll say not now for now.
And then you can hit X. Don't worry about it. So you can, there's like a fun little card game.
Oh, I could take a picture.
It's always fun to do live first.
Yeah, don't hate me.
No, you're doing great.
All right. Got a question from Five Live while we're doing this. Cool idea, Brandon. Have you ever tried connecting AI to auto send happy birthday virtual cards via SMS or WhatsApp?
Yeah, so we have some, it's a great question. We have some stuff coming up. You know, I think one of the things we think about is AI is great, but you think about historically, you use Facebook as kind of the last wave of this one.
Yeah.
You want the person to add a little bit of flavor given the social connection. You know, when someone writes HBD and you haven't talked to them in 10 years, you end up in your head, you're kind of like, did they really think about me? And sometimes it inverts like the relationship.
Yeah.
And so with the AI, we're really looking for ways to improve your wishes instead of creating your wishes, if that makes sense. Like, it's really hard to figure out what to do. And we have some stuff coming that will help with that. But yeah, we still want you to put your spin. So it looks like the whole point of, I think, birthday gifts or any gifts for that matter, is it's a social signal that I thought about you a little bit more than I had to because I wanted to, right? And so if you go to the home screen, you'll see the calendar, unless you're trying to avoid that.
Yeah, well, kind of. But yeah, I guess there's some birthdays coming up. But yeah.
And so, yeah, AI is really interesting too because it's getting better and better.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot more dynamic as far as things go. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what they get a fortune.
Yeah, you should have bought Bitcoin sooner. I like apps that have a little bit of personality too.
That's the thing, is like we're trying to, you know, we're basically using a utility to improve the days and the lives of everybody else, and then with permission, go find a way to build a business on top of the utility.
That's, I really like these cards, by the way.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah. So and hold on. I want to say hi to a few people again. There's a lot of questions I got for you.
Yeah.
Organized. I'm having too much fun with the app. Okay, Brandon. All right. Luis is here. What's happening, my man? Mary, good to see you. We got Five Lives from Texas. Okay, I didn't know that, but PJ, you're here. And then we got Time for Friday with the Fam. Lithuania. That's awesome. What's up? And then Vlad's like, hello, Charlie. Hey, Chris. I was like, all right. And then he corrected himself. Hey, Steve.
Gotta get you the birthday app, my man.
I know. Ted Danson's birthday is on 12/29. Can this be used to track celebrity birthdays? Was a question from LinkedIn.
I think at this particular point, if you have their phone number in your phone, you can track their birthday.
Okay.
You can add, hold on, I guess. If you wanted to add Ted Danson as a special contact yourself in your phone, you could very well track his birthday.
Yeah, I like it. All right, I want to start with this. What are, like, you know, from a retention perspective, have you seen like any simple ideas? And it could be this card creator, because I actually love it. But what are the simple ideas that really worked for you?
Yeah. We've played a little bit around astrology and horoscope. It's silly, but birthdays are this like amazing kind of moment where, I know this is, this amazing kind of moment where you almost get to go off timeline and you get to do all these things for yourself, whether people do it for you or do it for yourself, that you wouldn't do on a regular Tuesday. And so playing with things like astrology, these cards where you can drag friends' faces on there and all that have been stuff that we have put in there. We have a bunch more things coming around gifting and experiences. And we have a collage feature as well, where leading up to your birthday, your favorite, if you mark them as favorite, we ask you. But we ask if you want to be opted into collage, and everybody gets a text. And everybody uploads a photo of you and them, or you or something like that. And then at 12:01 on your birthday, it reveals everything that everybody submitted. And you get this really cool thing that you can share across social. And so it's just basically all these little fun, for us, it was all these fun features that essentially made your birthday more special, that kind of took into consideration how you would talk to friends and what would be awkward to ask for and what would be not. But I think that the greater kind of take for us was we have a very good identity about what it is we're providing. And so all of our feature decisions around that basically were clearer as far as what had to be built and what, you know, probably was not really going to work here. And so I think knowing, you know, being honest, I'm talking to users, being honest about what they're actually here for versus what you want them to be here for.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, one of the things I always thought that the app would allow me to send gifts, and then there'd be like an affiliate marketing deal that you would have. Is that something that's on the pipeline or?
Yeah. So we originally had a gifting feature, which was even crazier. We found a way essentially to make it so your phone turned into a birthday app card. And if I were to send you, you know, a sandwich somewhere, you'd either go to the website or show up there, you just swipe your phone and it would know instantly kind of what the gift was. And we ran into a single technical hurdle. And so that's why there's not a gifting feature currently here, but you can expect some very cool gifts coming up.
On the topic of retention still, when it comes to that, do you think it's more important to, is it like the app idea that's more important, or is it the actual features that you build in the app?
Tough question. I don't think either. I think it's understanding the problem you're solving, the jobs to be done, as they say, of the user. Sometimes it's features, sometimes it's the larger app idea, but there tends to be a core expectation, even if the user doesn't really understand it yet, why your app hits. And a lot of the times, you know, you think about what like the features of Facebook or something like that, or Instagram, right? It's not as much about the features as much about the fact that all your friends are already there. And so it ends up being the job of Instagram in this particular case is that it is giving you a place to express yourself where you know all your friends will see it. And so that's a little bit, that's like a sprinkle of the features, a sprinkle of the idea, but it really is more about understanding kind of what is the psychological reason why this user keeps coming back. And I think that goes for every product, is that there's a job to be done, even if it can't be articulated, as to why you have this ongoing relationship with the person using your product.
I know one of the things we talked about too was getting more from your current user base versus trying to always get more. And I love that, Brandon. I was saying for so long, like, if you, we have a case study for an app that made, that was making $250 a month, $250, by the way, so small, and went to $1,000 a month with just 15 downloads a day. And just by optimizing. So I love this topic. I'm like, you don't always need more top of the funnel traffic. You just have to figure out what they're doing when they're in the app.
Well, I think in general, we're going to see a huge shift to there. And I think that it's not happening fast enough for some of the bigger companies. But, you know, historically, if you were a big venture back company, right? Raising a lot of money quickly was always what everybody said, grow, 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 grow. Right. And it made sense because there was a lot of money to be raised. And, you know, people did it not profitably. Some of them figured it out eventually. Yeah. But in general, it costs less money if you're building kind of features internally to find ways to do more for your existing user base you have a relationship with. I always bring everything back to dating, right? If, you know, you've been dating somebody for a long time, you took a break, and then you met somebody new, it would take longer to ramp up the new person and have shared experiences and all that. There's this built-in advantage to having a history with somebody. Sometimes it's negative, but having a history with somebody that if you actually take a step back and think about, there should be a ton of levers in order to deepen the relationship. And so just from like a pure economics perspective, I think figuring out how you can do more for people who already kind of have gotten over the trust barrier with you and are doing work with you is almost always going to yield, you know, better results. You have to grow enough. There has to be like a general audience in order to do that with, but getting deeper with users, I think is going to be the kind of the top line trend of how revenue grows amongst most e-commerce companies over the next so many years. I don't know where the, you know, everything's going to go, but.
Do you have an example of maybe something you did either in the birthday app or any of your previous companies of some things where you're like, hey, here's what I did to the current user base that allowed me to grow, whether it's revenues or retention or whatever it was?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the obvious one for birthday app is we started creating these free features, which basically made it so more of the job to be done, more of the celebrating your birthday was done, you know, within our app. It used to be, it was just a reminder. And then it was something you could send. We were a gift company for briefly at the same time. There is a feature coming up, which should allow you, you know, one of the big use cases we get or that everybody asks us about is kids' birthdays. Yeah. And so, because obviously they don't have phone numbers in a lot of cases. And so there's a very clever way coming down the pipeline that will allow you to put your friends' kids' birthdays in there if you want to, or like your nieces, your nephews, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, little things, it was a long time ago, but my company Laurel and Wolf, which is an interior design marketplace, it basically first started as kind of designers bidding on your, on an ability to design your space under your budget. And we started building tools that made the design process better, that made the kind of ordering of furniture better. And we started kind of bringing different things to designers that they could choose to include in their packages. And so we are much more about going deeper in, and that goes into, that's a whole nother topic about marketplace. But, and for that, you know, you think about who your customers are, and it was two sides, but yeah. Does that make, are those good examples?
Yeah, clear? Those are great examples. I mean, another one, I don't even know what you think about this, but, you know, a sponsor of ours, Revenue Cat, they're a great way to track your subscriptions. And we just launched a new app and we started putting Revenue Cat in there, and they sent me an email. It's like, hey, here's a free shirt for you, Steve. And I was like, oh, this is very interesting. It was a nice little surprise.
Yeah.
And they sent me the shirt and all that stuff. It's one of those things that it's just a small gesture that I felt like a more brand affinity to thee. Now, if their product sucks, I wouldn't use them still. So your product still has to be good. But these little small things where I'm like, oh, I like this. Like, we started thinking about it from our company too, what we should be doing.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I think that like one of the things that I always kind of believe is the funny thing about tech is tech's not about tech. Tech's about people, relationships, even SaaS companies, in the sense that like, you know, they give you a shirt and now you feel, I don't call it an obligation because it's not negative, but like you feel some type of responsibility to like either give value back or to affirm that you were worthy of receiving that shirt. And like, not to be so naked about what it actually is in the human brain, but like, there's all these little things that are mostly the things that like, I always, Uber was in, there's a great, oh God, what's his name? There's a great author named,
what's the book? Test me, Brandon.
What's his name? English dude. Roy Sutherland?
Ugh, no.
It's a mouthful. It's called Alchemy, but his whole take is that psychological innovation is mostly where tech is doing it. And one of the big examples he always talked about was Uber didn't really make it so you could call a car. There were like, there were still ways to do that. They made it so that when you saw, after you called the car, you could see on the map it was coming towards you. Yeah. And it psychologically soothed that you had done it and that it was actually going to get done. You see it like coming. And I think that if you break down, not all, but the majority of apps that have really done a good job, Airbnb didn't change, you know, where you stayed, but somehow they figured out how to make it psychologically acceptable to stay in a stranger's house anywhere in the world. And so it's this thing that these apps in general, apps and businesses, products are mostly, the ones that do the best at least, are kind of psychological hacks as much as they're, you know, technical hacks.
Mm. I like it. What other psychological hacks are there? I mean, I can get into the sneaky ones. Like, I know the subject line that I like to use is like, you're not alone. That tends to work really well.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, there is the whole idea of, you know, the medicine versus vitamins, which is really just, you know, fear over people are much more afraid of losing things than they are. And I actually think that, you know, birthdays are this really beautiful thing and that they're a great excuse to reach out to people. But I think there's also a fear of not showing up as a good friend or a good, you know, you know, you're a salesperson or whatever, and you're keeping all of your clients' birthdays in your app. Not showing up is somebody who like is going the extra mile for these people. And so you don't always want to prey on fear, or maybe you do. Some people have had very good careers just preying on fear. Yeah. But I think that that's a good one.
I like it too. Any more you want to talk about? Or what I'll tell you is you got my mom's birthday right too. I threw that in there.
Just ran the test. I mean, there's a ton. There's a great book. There are a couple of great books. I mean, Charlie Munger just died. He does a whole thing on kind of human psychology and stuff like that. There's Robert Cialdini, mm-hmm. who's pretty good. There's this one crazy book that I just love. It's by these guys, Reese and Trout. It's super old. We're talking like disco 70s stuff. And it's about positioning. Mm. Company positioning, and you know, they have this great example of, I want to say it was Hertz. Hold on, I'm making sure I get the name right. Yeah, it's called Positioning. Is that the one they want? Oh, it's the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
Oh, yeah, I've read that one. Yep.
And so, you know, it's little things like this idea. I always forget which one it was. I think it was Avius. I think Budget or Hertz was like the big dog, like was the Coke in the rental car market. And they ended up coming in and they ended up saying something. They positioned themselves. They just said, "We try harder." That was like their slogan, right? And they acknowledged though that like we are not the big dog. We are the secondary one. And because we know that, you come on down and you get a couple things. You get like there's almost an intellectual honesty. You kind of feel like you're betting on the underdog with them and it's still safe, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so I think when you start to think about, you know, that book's great because all 22 of those laws are incredible. There's like the whole, you can only own one word ever. Like Amazon is probably instant if I was to pick one.
That's a good one.
You know, I don't really think about quality for Amazon. It's basically instant and maybe the second word is good enough. and so like, but you can go through all of these things and it's just people interacting with people. And so kind of keeping into consideration, like what is your product doing and you know, what problem is it solving? I think it's important for it.
I love it. All right. This person's been spamming the comments, but learnings. All right. He said, how much revenue with 100,000 daily active users can you make through AdMob? So I don't know.
I don't know the answer. We have an integrated ad mob. If you know, I'd be happy to hear.
I mean, I don't have exact data for you, but I think it also really depends on the type of ads that you're showing. So if you can get more rewarded ads, I mean, I would answer it this way. Try to get more rewarded ads. Don't sleep on banner ads either. And the interstitials tend to have the highest eCPM, but they're the most intrusive from a user usability perspective. But I my favorite is app opens are like low hanging fruit. So definitely think about app open ads, banner ads, especially with that scale and also like rewarded videos.
But yeah.
You can make I'm not going to throw a number out because they're going to hold me to it. Nurex said, what about conversion? So Nurex, I don't know what you mean about conversions, but I'd love to know what you mean there. And then Five Live says, how can we leverage the upcoming Christmas gifting season where a user can gift 1 year sub to a family or friend?
Are we talking about my app or are we talking about just any app?
You can answer it whichever way you want.
I think it's about, you know, it's tough. Discounting is really hard because discounting ends up converting people. There's two types of discounting. Yeah. I know that this is not technically discounting, but either someone's on the fence and then you discount them, but then they have the expectation that's always going to be discounted, or you're basically getting somebody who's like, this is too cheap to pass up. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're going to give a year sub to a friend and a family or friends and family, you should figure out some type of way to describe like why it's different, why it's interesting. Like find something silly, like in specific about, you know, give this to your I don't know what your product is. If it's a, you know, if it's one, if it's a communication-based one, give it to your most gossipy family member. Like, find a way to basically tell a story around the promo you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It all comes down to kind of creative, good copywriting. I don't know that there's like a right way to give away any of these. Like, a promo is nothing without figuring out how to explain it.
Yeah, I like it. Let's see. I think I want to answer it this way. I'm trying to figure out what's his name. Five Live. You can remind me what your name is. That'll be helpful to me. So he's got a happy hour app. I think technically speaking, if you're trying to leverage this, you know, obviously you can use, Apple has a coupon code, a promo code type of thing that you can use. It even has a link. So you can say like, hey, subscribe for a year. And then, you know, you get a free year for a friend. And then once they hit subscribe, you then send them another page that said that has that link that they can then share out to a friend of theirs. So that's a quick and easy way that you can set up within App Store Connect, have your developer quickly develop it. If that's what you're talking about, it's not hard to do. You can look at App Store Connect. Revenue Cat actually has a good blog post about how to do like Black Friday holiday sale promotions through the App Store Connect there too. And Five Live, right. I think his name's Matt. It's like, for your users' birthday shout outs, I'll donate 1 year sub as a gift to give out. Here's his app, Brandon. There you go.
Nice. Hit me up.
Yeah. And then, Nurek says birthday app conversions. I mean, is it install to user? Is that what you're asking for? Like, I don't know what Nurek is asking for here. Oh, Rob. His name's Rob. All right, Rob, I'll remember that. Cool. Hey, Brandon, what I want to get into next is, and Nurek will tell me what he really wants to know, how you've been able to use quizzes to grow your user base.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah. So quizzes are a good example. I don't know. This was way back in the day. But for Laurel and Wolf, which is, I think, 10 years ago now. Jesus, you see I got gray in my beard, like right here. We ended up doing this thing where when users would sign up, we would, or instead of getting users to, this goes into the whole thing we were talking about before, about trying to build a relationship with somebody without asking for something up front, or trying as hard as you can to kind of give value before asking to take value. And so we do this thing where you land on the website and you get 10 interior pictures of interiors, like homes. And you'd say yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. And at the end, we'd ask your email to send you your design type, right? Mm. And this is, the idea is not outdated. The methodology is probably outdated. But we got a 91% conversion rate of every person who got in the site wanted to essentially know what their style was. And it was also a perfect way to kind of feed them into our conversion system. But it's just this idea. It's so competitive out there. Mm. Find a way to do something that's a little bit extra, that the commitment is, you know, low on, and yeah, be exciting about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was in lieu of trying to sell products, you know, giving stuff away. And Neil Patel talks about this, where you build a tool, it's like build free tools that you can give away to your audience. Build that goodwill, kind of like what you said earlier, Brandon. You know, you don't want to always be selling, selling, selling. For me, it's just content, 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 right? Like, give away good content.
That's it. Like, it's like a soft sale. You're like, it's like a seduction. Like, everybody wants to do stuff for you because you've been doing stuff for them forever. Yeah. So it comes into this thing where, like, you know, by the time you ask for something, it should be close to a no-brainer that the other person wants to do well by you. If you're always asking, you're just kind of going to look like a salesperson or a snake.
Yeah. It's funny, a friend of mine, I've known her for years, and she was like, Steve, I didn't even know you did like Apple Search Ads management. And I'm like, I just don't, you know, promote myself enough, I guess. But you would have known if you got to my website. But all right, got some comments. John says, Kim Basinger's birthday is today. Would I be able to see her birthday? Birthday app? I'm like, if you have her number. All right, John, if you have her number.
Yeah, John, do you have her number? I don't think she knows you.
And then Superfood Ferens, I really appreciate your channel. This platform helping me launch an app. I have an app builder, Gatsby, that purchased, but your platform helps me logistically think through marketing. Well, thank you for being here as well. All right. Nurk says, Steve, conversions about in-app purchases, but I don't think you have in-app purchases in your app.
We don't right now. I think the question is, what is a good number? And it all depends, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't have a clear answer unless I understood the product better.
Yeah, I think what we've typically seen is about 5 to 10% is a pretty good number.
Yeah.
And then on average, even Apple said this is like 2-3% install the actual paying customer is about that, nice. That number. Yeah. All right. Brandon, let's get into, I know there's a few questions I want to talk about with you, but before we do that, let's get into the app audit side of our show. And then we like to start off every app audit with some dad jokes. Head to head, my friend, maybe an Angels game, you know, we're paying for a Giants or Angels game.
Yeah, we'll see what happens today. I may have to stop watching baseball for a year to keep my heart intact.
You might be the reason why I watch baseball again. All right. You're the guest, my friend. Do you want to go first or you want to go second?
I would never take that opportunity from you. Why don't you start us off?
Okay. All right. Which one do I like? I'll start with, I like this one. All right, here we go. Brandon, what do you call a one-legged hippo?
What do you call a one-legged hippo?
A hoppo.
Ah.
There you go.
All right.
What do you got? All right.
What genre of music are national anthems?
What?
Country.
I like it. All right. Put B if you thought Brandon's joke was better. Put S if you thought my joke was better. We got a baseball game on the line for this. All right. I'm going to take a look at Neil's apps first. So wait, let me pull up Neil. I got to meet Neil in person. He's got a bucket list app. And I was like, Neil, you sucker. I knew this keyword was a good keyword. And I think he ranks pretty well. Number one for bucket lists in here. But it is what it is. It's a number one rated bucket list app for anything you have in your life.
You want to say crazy about bucket list? This what? Always blows my mind. How old do you think the term bucket list is?
I'm going to assume like the 50s?
I think it's 2006.
Are you serious?
The movie Bucket List, that Morgan Freeman movie, literally the first mention of the term bucket list. It's one of those weird Bernstein Bears, the Mandela effect, where I would have always assumed it was this old term, but it's like extraordinarily new.
I like it. I had no idea. All right. And I like how what Neil did. He obviously has bucket list in the title. I don't know if you need to like actually duplicate bucket list, but hey, Neil, I think you're number one for bucket list. So good there. And then his developer name's Bucket. That ends up helping everything. Yeah. Anything from like App Store presence, Brandon, that you want to give some feedback on Neil? He really wants help with the monetization side of things, but anything.
Let's get into it. Scroll down a little just so I can see it.
Screenshots?
The screenshots are pretty. Clear on the top. I like your color scheme. Let's get into the monetization stuff. That's what he wanted to focus on.
Yeah. Oh, Neil, you're number two for bucket list. All right, Neil. Let's get into it.
I'm full screening, guys, so I can't see the chat.
All right. It says, create your bucket list. So it's onboarding, complete your bucket list, and then share your bucket list. And then he has try bucket list for free. Mm-hmm. And then I have to sign up. So I'll stop here really quick, Brandon. We've actually seen, I had this hypothesis that continue with would be better than sign up. Mm-hmm. And we finally have some data that supports my hypothesis. So one client saw a 9% increase in signups by just changing the words from sign in with to continue with Apple. So, all right, I'm gonna hide it.
I think I already have a clever idea for monetization additions.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see when we get there though.
Okay. Any feedback on this paywall?
It's not a paywall. It's that
at the end. It is.
I'll be honest, a little bit, just because I don't gate my app, I'm a little bit rusty on some of this conversion stuff, but I think, here, go back up.
Yep. Let's see if it stays here. Some apps just take you away. Yep.
Well, one, I don't, what is the premium feature?
Yeah, agreed. I don't know what that is too. And what I've noticed too, Brandon, is a lot of people, look, I've been saying long paywall performs better and we have stats to back that up. But I also found that like if you're going to do a long paywall, you want your pricing page above the fold. And it is kind of weird. Like your bucket list, you've been saying try for free, Neil, for the longest time. And now you're hitting me with the paywall. It's better to have this pricing up top so that I know what I'm trying to get into. Because right now I would just easily hit X. And I didn't even, Brandon didn't know this was a paywall. And I didn't know it was a paywall.
Well, I don't even know. It's kind of one of those things too. I don't even know what I'm like. I don't even know what we're talking about yet. Because I haven't even seen what the app looks like.
Yeah. So, and then the it's a 3-day trial, but I would probably promote the 7-day trial. Look at the video, Neil. We just did a video where you want to put like free, you know, free full access to Bucket List Pro. And then you have like messaging that says it's 7-day trial. You can do X, Y, and Z, but you want the pricing up top as much as possible. And yeah, the paywall, you should mess around with the paywall. That's my feedback to you. You got to definitely, if you do nothing else after this call, move this.
Well, it's just kind of, if you want to go back to the thing we talked about before, I think unless the only apps thing to get away from, get away with a paywall in the very, very, very front without much of an explanation are ones whose value is so known and so ubiquitous that like, I don't really need to see what the app does. But if you can't, you know, if you're not going to deliver the value kind of before you ask for the money, I think you end up like, you know, like Steve said, is people just will abandon it, not even try it.
Yeah, I like it. Well, we do have sets to say, like during the onboarding, that's where most people buy, Brandon. So you should show the paywall during the onboarding. So people, most people generally buy before they even use your app. But yeah.
See, there you go. I'm running it the exact same. Maybe you should charge for it.
That's a good one. I like some of these.
Get it. You know what I would do, Neil, is my idea for you. I would, well, let's see if you keep going.
All right. I'll stop.
No, keep going.
I like this. This does work too. You know what I think
would be a really cool feature? If at the end of that onboard, the last screen showed everything with pins on a map across the, like across the world map or whatever, and you put the world map one. You know, people go to fly to countries and they like mark off places they've been. I wonder if that would look cool with the bucket list thing.
Yeah, I like it. I think that the after I added some stuff to the bucket list, it'd be an opportunity, Neil, to show a paywall. You know, what we're finding, Brandon, is showing the paywall during the onboarding. If they say no, Neil got me to sign up and then hit me with another paywall that it is even discounted. And that is working well for...
Like at this screen?
Yeah, right before this screen, because I picked things on my bucket list, right? Now I'm pretty engaged in your app. And now if I said no to the first one, you give me a discount, like a $15. It was $20 a year. You say $15 a year. You want this one-time offer because now I'm already engaged, right? Like you're showing some value. And so, yeah, like do that in there. Oh, I like this. So I did do this, but I guess there's no media. Complete. I don't know what to do right here. So I hit complete because we went to Tokyo, but I guess I go back because I completed this. I don't know. I'm kind of confused what to do here. I have to add some content. Went in 2018. Oh, that was confusing. And then he's asking me for a paywall again. And there's Neil. Okay, I like this. Marathon. Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, I like the community aspect of it. I don't know why there's a reason for me to sign up. Like it's unclear to me.
What do you mean to sign up?
To sign up for the pro. Here, I'm going to do this because I like doing this all the time. Yeah. Like what are the freemium? What are the features that I get for free or that are in the premium? Like if he wants me to pay, what are the things
it I looks should be like paying for? From what I'm seeing, I wonder if it cuts off after a certain amount of time and the whole thing is great. I don't
know. But what's missing too, Neil, is the paywall on the homepage. So most people buy during the onboarding and then the next place is the homepage. So if it's in the feed somewhere, maybe instead of just showing all feeds, give them a discount or just show it down here.
I've seen other apps do this, you know, try Bucket List Pro for free for 7 days, and they'll just promote that up here too. Or a discount right there. Okay. And then let's see. I think Joe had some. White text on yellow is tough to read. I don't know where that was, Joe, but that was his feedback. And then they've got a, everybody's got feedback. So for those listening to the podcast, Louis says, maybe can you try a couple of screens instead of a single long screen for the paywall? I'm not sure subscription is the best business model here. Bucket List is a lifelong goal. Users can be put off with a subscription for this type of app. Could be.
I think that maybe just, it might even be worthwhile to just offer annual.
Yeah. Proth is here. Good to see. And Neil is here. Thanks for reviewing. Notes have been taken. All right, Neil, keep us posted, my friend. All right, now to more important news, Brandon. Looks like you won, my friend. Thank you, Mary. So it looks like 4-2. You win that first round. All right, ready for round two?
Yeah.
Okay, try to find a better one. There's one that really made me laugh. Okay, I like the hippo one. No, I guess not. Okay, you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
You choose.
All right, you go first this time.
All right. So, are you following the news? Did you hear about the mime that kidnapped the kids?
Really? What happened?
He did unspeakable things to them, apparently.
I like it. All right. Brandon, my wife gets annoyed if I mess with her red wine. So I added fruit and lemonade to it. Now she's sangria than ever. There you go. A little pun for you. All right. We got Greg, I think is his name. Yeah. Oh, no. Gary. We got Gary's app right here. We'll pull it up. And then. So he wants feedback on onboarding and paywall. So we'll just go straight to that audio fix. Boost sound, and I think I met Gary. But instantly boost, improve, and extract the sound of your videos. Import a video and audio fix immediately cleans the audio and maximizes its volume. Love it.
Cool.
Gary, I think there's a volume booster or sound booster keyword that I think has pretty good traffic. So you might want to mess around with the ASO and do some keyword traffic or keyword research there. But let's just get into the main thing, which is what you want for the onboarding and paywall. Okay. Audio fix for videos. Get ready to make your video stand out with loud. Oh, I like it. Cool. That's kind of cool. What is that thing called? Oh, sound leveling?
Like mixing?
Mixing, yeah. Oh, it's pretty cheap. Onboarding looks good. I think, I don't know. Sorry, Brent. You go. You're the guest. No, anything? No, any feedback on Brent?
Okay. So,
I do like, this a lot.
I'm like an ostrich in my own thing, but maybe a little.
So, Gary, like what you might want to do is like, you know, how many videos do you create a month? You know, engage with the user. We found that when you engage with your user, and if you do, you know, you see this with fitness apps, customizing your plan, you know, that actually does increase conversion rates. So when you engage with the user and ask them, kind of like Randy said, like do quizzes, right? They're more inquisitive. The user ends up feeling like you're personalizing the entire experience for them. And the results are a couple of reasons. They feel like they're getting a better product. You get higher conversions and you also get data on them. So if there are creators that are like, you know, like for me, it's like one video a week. So 4 videos, it's like they're probably more likely to pay. And so you can be more creative with some of the pricing mechanisms here. Cause I came in here and was like, that's pretty dang cheap here. So play around with that onboarding, just get those users and you can use that data to then target your target market with that data as well. And then, what I'm testing now, Brandon, is most apps do this. And I'm kind of thinking through, most apps like show the pricing as a monthly or a weekly. And I'm testing showing all pricing as a yearly. So monthly is $4.99 a month. I would move this text to the bottom right here. And then I put, this is actually $60 a year. And then this is $20 a year. so that I can then look at the annual and be like,
that's the best bet.
15 is, yeah, so much cheaper. So that's what I'm testing. I don't have data yet, but I feel pretty
confident. You can even do the thing that everybody does. It says, you know, best value.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then save, right? Like we all love to save. So save, you know, X amount of money. That's 15 over 60 is pretty big here. Yeah. And lose the subscribe. Just say start free trial. I know Apple might have a cow about it, but that's what I do. And then plus, like, tell me what I get. Otherwise, yeah, it's, I don't know what the features are. It's so blank. It's like export and save anywhere. It's like, all right, but like, what are the things I get with this app other than this?
I always like, I think the stats prove it out, and they did a good job on the last one on the bucket list. But that when you do the X's down, compare, I don't know what people are doing now, but like find a way to compare, you know, their current existence now with like, you don't have these things, but now you have these things, like compare the two feature sets to like having this and not having it.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen those. I have that visual. It's like with, you know, Video Fix, I think the app.
Yeah, exactly.
Without,
you're basically just giving them a narrative that like, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, here. I love visuals, Brandon, so I'll pull it up. Flow does this. It's the Period Tracker app. They do this pretty well. And we need one more vote, guys. Come on. It's tied, 2-2. I might lose to Brandon. You talking about something like this?
I appreciate everybody who didn't think my joke was too dark.
Like without flow, with flow. I really like the messaging here. Is that what you're talking about, Brandon?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love the grayed out circles up against the green ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like the color. Yeah. I've seen other apps do this too. It's like, you know, without us, this your sleep with us. We have it on our paywall as well on here. Cool.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say even the far right one that you were using that asks, I think it was asking the step, or go, if you went back to that
and close it, I'll pull it back. Go ahead.
It's just this idea that like make it a no-brainer. I always joked, like if you're selling something, you're basically making it so if anybody asks, anybody in their life asks why they bought it, they have a soundbite that makes them feel not stupid for doing it. And so like feel that soundbite.
I like that. I like that. I really like that. You can see they're engaging too. And then oh, this definitely will you. Is this way, or this?
Yeah, no, the far right. You got it.
And this one? Okay.
Yeah. No. Like, even if you wanted to ask them, like, could you benefit from, you know, you do all of like the old timey sales guy thing where like, you know, like the, I don't know if you guys ever watched The Simpsons, like the monorail guy, but like, could you benefit from, and then you kind of name the things and everyone's, if they're answering yes, then like you're more likely to get them to convert.
Yep. Yeah, I think people have told me it's called a yes ladder. And then I know webinars, you know, people are selling courses on webinars. They tend to do that. Could you do this? You know, put yes in the comments. You know, would this benefit you? Could you imagine yourself? What would $10,000, another $1,000 look good for your bank account?
And that's what it is. My guess is with these video or the volume normalization or the sound stuff, there is probably a handful of very specific power users that like would consider this, whether they're, you know, exporting to social, whether they're like doing like little edits, like there's probably three or four things you can list. Would you benefit from that? Like makes them picture their lives slightly better with your product. And that would be a no brainer to close that out.
I love it. All right. Well, Brandon, tie goes to the winner because we don't have another vote, unfortunately, but we tied on that one. And then Mary gave me the last vote there. All right. Cool. Brandon, anything I missed that you want to make sure we cover?
Other than go check out the app. I don't know. Do you have any other questions for me?
Yeah.
Any other things?
I'm like, no, I think we covered it. And I think the other thing was like, how do you force users? And I put force in quotes. Users to create rituals as part of your app usage.
Yeah, well, it's just this idea. I think we talked about it a little bit. Go where they are. if you have, as the, you know, the old joke, it's hard enough to sell something to somebody who's already doing it. If you have to go invent the thing that you're doing and then go sell it. I'll give you a good story. You like stories, right?
I love stories.
I'm going to tell the inverse of this. And so there's this great story. I always forget the person's name. In the 70s, Nescafe, you know, the coffee company, or like the quick coffee company.
Yeah.
So they wanted to do, they wanted to break into the Japanese market, which is a major tea market, right? And they went to some expert there. And he said, they tested. Nobody wanted it. Everybody hated it. And so he's like, you're not going to be able to do it, but I have a plan. And they ended up putting out a children's cartoon. They paid for, like, a couple million bucks, but a children's cartoon. And then they launched candy with the cartoon that was coffee flavored, which is new to the market. And the kids ate the candy. And 20 years later, coffee is now almost as big as tea there. Oh, and wow. That company is by far the dominant coffee brand across Japan. And his whole take was, you can't get them to do something new. You literally need to go to people who are building new habits and get them before they have their habits, which was these kids, and like get them have like an affinity for the flavor. And so Japanese coffee kind of ramped up that way. And it's a good story about, like, you're better off going to existing habits. Don't try to invent new ones unless, like, you got 25 years to see your product hit market.
I love it. I have this, like, I did this go to market presentation, and I'm like, you know, everybody, you know, you talk to people and they're like, you know, who's the app for? Like, everybody. I'm like, yeah, okay, calm down, right? And then I'm like, go find the easiest yes. Like, who are the people that will say yes the easiest? And Neste took a while, but they finally got there. But yeah, like, it is, don't try to sell it to everybody. Just find the first few that would be like, yeah, I would love this. That's a natural extension of what we're already doing. Love it. All right, Nurek says, Steve, what do you think about video show on paywall instead of image? Test it, Nurex. We actually, depending on the app, video has outperformed normal static images on paywalls. So it could work for you too. So definitely test it.
I'll bet a soundless video would do very well too.
Yeah. I love it. And then Lucas says, hey, Steve, is hard paywall currently allowed? Would it still pass app review? Lucas, depends on the Apple guy. There's this thing called remote config. So if the reviewer... it has a problem with it, put the X, remote config, take out the X, you know.
We've done both. You run into the problem, like he said, of them changing their mind on a tiny, tiny, tiny new version submission, which can nuke like a week of people to use your app. So be careful.
Yeah, be careful. But, you know, a hard paywall does still work and Apple is allowing it now. I think they're coming around to it. So it really depends on the reviewer you get there too. All right. That is it, Brandon. I won't take up any more of your time.
This is great. Thanks for having
me. The app is called Birthday App. Go search for it on your favorite app store or go to birthday.app and you can find anybody's birthday. I just put my mom's. That's my mom's birthday in there as well. It's a really great app, Brandon. Congrats. I really like it. I don't say that to everybody. So
appreciate that.
I think it's really cool. But anywhere else you want to send the user if they want to connect with you in any other way?
I'm BK Senior on social and Brandon Kleinman. If you want to ask me any questions, I appreciate everybody that came out. You know, tell all your friends, it's a free app. And you'll just look like a better friend. And it's kind of been nice. I like to tell people that COVID is not that far or not that long ago, but it's really hard to reach out to friends because we don't have context in the last, we don't see as many people, and birthdays are the easiest way to say what's up. And so if you're thinking about somebody or you kind of feel like your social group has gotten smaller, like throw this app on your phone and you'll end up talking to way more people than you would have otherwise.
And I love these cards because I'm always sending gifts to my like dad or friends. Yeah. And then it's just like, no, this is better. I like this. It's my face. And I like this too.
Yeah.
Really silly. Cool. It's silly, but it's perfect. And then you got your branding on there too. So really great job. Well done, Brandon.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Next week, we got a friend of mine who's in our App Masters Elite community as well. And he's going to break down. He's an indie developer. He's going to break down his journey from profitability. A lot of cool. I hope he doesn't share everything because he shared it in our private Slack community. But a lot of great pricing tests that he's done that I'm absolutely amazed about. And so we'll probably share a little bit, but not all of it, because we want to keep some of these things private. But great indie success story. I know you guys love it. We're going to end the year right by highlighting his story. So join us every Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on. I owe you an Angels game, so we'll make that happen next year. But thank you guys. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next
week. Appreciate you guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Bye.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.